Kia ora koutou katoa. Ke te mihi aroha ki a koutou. Mā te atua koutou e manaaki. Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā tātou katoa. I'm honoured today, Campbell and Rain, to bring you some words of encouragement. Words that call both of you and all of us to keep climbing higher. When I prayed about what I might bring today, my mind went straight to Isaiah 40:31, then to a well-known Bible character. But I thought, in a way, Isaiah 40:31 just seemed a little bit too obvious. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. No guesses for who that reminds you of. They will walk and not faint. So I thought, maybe not too obvious. But then I couldn't shake it. I couldn't go away from it. I kept on coming back to this amazing verse. The more I meditated on it, the more God burned it into my soul. Maybe you've heard a sermon based on this verse one time and had it presented that it represents three types of believers. There are those who soar. Those are the kind of eagle people. There are those who have stamina. They have incredible endurance, like Campbell Forlong. And some have stickability. They never give up. They keep on plodding on until they drop. But maybe you've heard another sermon. I've heard this kind of sermon based on this verse, and they see this verse as three life stages. Early on in your life, you simply soar. In middle age, you accomplish some great things for God without even getting weary. And then in your old age, you waddle to the finish line and just make it without fainting. The problem is that I don't think that's really what the verse is all about. So I'm going to come back to that verse towards the end of this message today. But when I thought about the idea of three life stages, it made me meditate on one of the most inspiring characters of the Bible, Caleb. He was the old man who never stopped growing, the old man who kept on climbing. So I think that there were at least three chapters in Caleb's life. The first chapter I would call Soaring. He was selected by Moses to be one of the 12 spies that were to go in and assess whether they should go into Canaan or not. 10 of the spies saw the giants. Caleb and Joshua saw God. 10 of them saw the problems, 2 of them saw the possibilities. 10 of them said, we can't do this. Caleb said, in effect, God can. Listen to Caleb's words as he silenced the people and he said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we certainly can do it. As I meditated on the life of Caleb in Numbers 14 and also Joshua 14, they made me think of you, Campbell and Lorraine. I remember you as two of the most risk-taking, faithful students I ever had the joy to teach at the GLO Training Centre. I recall those days when you launched a dynamic ministry to teach and train children's workers. Then, if I have it right, somebody asked you one day if you would join a team to plant a church in Hamilton for God's glory and for the sake of the lost. Some might have said, we've already got a thriving ministry to kids in New Zealand and also Australia, and it's too risky. But like Caleb, you said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for with God, we certainly can do it. So there was a decision. Then the commitment at the start of CBC, and that was, I would call, the easy part. In Caleb's part, there was a second chapter from age 40 to 85 that was the toughest part. I would call this stamina. He was surrounded by a mob of disobedient Israelites. You could describe this phase as wandering in the wilderness. The hardest part of a marathon, and I've only ever run a half marathon in my life, is when you hit the wall. There is the excitement when the gun goes off and you take off rather too fast with a whole lot of people. But then there's the need to just keep on going. In Caleb's case, when Moses died, it was his best friend Joshua who was chosen as leader. Yet Caleb just kept on keeping on. I remember one time when I was about 15 or 16, one of my heroes, a man called Sam Cappie, a lovely Scotsman, I just loved him preaching, and I was waiting. He was going back to Scotland. He had had enough of New Zealand, and everything was wonderful about Scotland in his mind, and I was waiting. He was always said very, very profound things, and I was waiting for him. I knew that he had time for me, and I was waiting. He used to say terms like microscopic minutiae. I never knew what it meant, but it sounded really good, and I was waiting for something really, really profound. And all he said was, "Roland, keep on keeping on." And I was completely underwhelmed. I thought, that's really nothing. But this phase in Caleb's life was when that's really all he was doing. His contemporaries were dying all round him. In Isaiah 40, 31 terms, he was running and not getting weary. So you have to ask, well, what was it that kept him going in this chapter of his life? And the key is the repeated phrase in Numbers 14, 22 to 24, where the Lord said, "None of the men who have seen my glory and my signs that I did in Egypt and in the wilderness shall see the land that I swore to give their fathers, and none of those who despised me shall see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land in which he went, and his descendants shall possess it." Notice those two phrases in the verses that you have in front of you there. A different spirit. Followed me fully. Different spirit. It was a faith-stretching spirit. It was a positive spirit. It was a God-centered spirit. As I said already, that the 10 spies were all about the giants, but he saw the Lord. They saw the difficulties, he saw the possibilities. They said, "It can't be done." But Caleb said, "With God, we can do this." Notice also the phrase, "followed God fully." It's used three times in the two chapters. If you go back and read about Caleb in Numbers 14 and Joshua 14, three times it says that he followed God fully. Nothing half-hearted with this man. He knew the truth of 2 Chronicles 16 and 9, which words that were said, we take them in our Christian world as a great promise and a great call and challenge, but they were actually a rebuke to King Asa. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is fully his. Campbell and Lorraine, those two phrases capture how I see you. When your friends were leaving you, when things were going tough here in CBC, when the people that you had deeply invested in left the church, you had what I would call a different spirit. You persevered. You kept on going. Agora, the cafe, the auditorium, your passion for Thailand are all testimony to that. You had stamina. You had resilience. Best of all, you have been what I would call wholehearted followers of Jesus Christ. Two people that recently anyway, as far as I could tell, have been simply captured, entranced by the love of God. We honour both of you today. Lorraine, the blog that you have been writing is so exquisite. You've been journeying into love, God's relentless and undying love. So chapter one of Caleb's life could be described as soaring. Chapter two, stamina. And chapter three, I would call adventure. In Joshua 14, he's 85 years young now. I don't know how old you both are, but you're nowhere near that. You look incredibly young to me. But he's pressing on. His last years might even have been his very best. For 45 years, he's waiting for the fulfillment of the promise of land that would one day become his possession. He was physically strong. By God's grace, he was able to say, I'm still as strong today as the day that Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle as I was then. No mention of retirement. Strong, healthy, passionate. He was physically strong, but he was also what I would call spiritually audacious. He says, now give me this mountain, or some translations have, give me something fresh. Give me something more to climb on. Give me the hill country. Give me a fresh challenge. It was probably Mount Hebron, which at that time was in the hands of the enemies. Campbell and Lorraine, the idea of soaring above difficulties, having stamina over, I think it's about 24 years or whatever it is, that's how we see you. This third phase in Caleb's life captures to me what you are both about. Campbell, you're a classic adventurer. You're both are people with a different spirit. The spirit of Caleb, the spirit of Christ. Our prayer is that you, Campbell and Lorraine, like Caleb, will just keep on climbing. Keep investing in the extension of God's kingdom. Keep grabbing fresh God-given challenges and then just step back and watch what God's going to do. But the thing that will make the difference between you and opting for comfort, and I know that might be the temptation after all the exhaustion of the years that you've had behind you. The thing that might stop you going on cruise control is the verse that I started with. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not go weary. They will walk and not faint. As I've said already, one way of interpreting or maybe even applying this verse is to see them as descriptions of maybe personality types. There's some like that they saw, or life chapters, but I actually believe that that application or interpretation of this verse misses the whole point. The verses before that, before verse 31 in Isaiah 40, hold the key. Verse 28 through to 30 says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord, Yahweh, is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases power of the weak. Even youths stumble and fall, but they that wait on the Lord will renew their strength." So patient waiting, or you might say expectant hope, is essential, but that also misses the point. It's all about the Lord. It's all about Yahweh. And I know you both well. You probably slightly cringe at the idea of being honored today, because it's not all about you. It's all about the Lord. It's all about the one who called you. So these verses remind us in verse 28 through to 30 of Isaiah 40. They remind us who God is. He is the everlasting one. He is the creator. He's everlasting. He's not time-bound or unrestricted in any way. He's the creator. He's got unlimited power. He's available. He's never out of reach and never, ever too tired to take your calls when we come to him at any time. And he's infinitely wise, the source of infinite wisdom. So that's who God is. And that is what this verse is all about. They who wait on Yahweh, those who wait on this God, will renew their strength. But then you'll notice in the verses, if you were thinking about it before, who we are. And it's not a pretty picture. Words like weary, weak, tired, stumbling, falling. That's you and me. That's who God is. He's always available. He's always the God of the universe, who's the creator and is sustaining everything. But then there's you and me that at times are so inadequate and weary and tired and stumbling and falling. So what have we got to do? We've just got to wait on the Lord. That means patiently. It doesn't all happen as quickly as you and I would like it to. We want to be infused with strength straight away. We don't want to hang around and wait for the Lord to do his thing. But the word wait is a good translation. The NIV has "those who hope on the Lord," and it's capturing the idea of expectant hope. It's being on tiptoe and waiting for this God to come through. So the key idea for this amazing verse, Campbell, for you, Campbell and Lorraine, but also for every one of us in the audience here today, is this: that God enables those who wait for his strength to do the impossible. In other words, as we wait, we can do the impossible. We can soar on wings like eagles. We can run without tiring. We can walk without quitting. So Isaiah 40:31 doesn't describe personality types or life stages, but it does describe what happens when God steps in and does the impossible in your life and my life. What happens when we wait with eager suspense for what God's going to do the impossible? This is what I pray for you most, my dear friends Campbell and Lorraine. Keep asking God to do the impossible through you. Keep dreaming impossible dreams like you have up to now. Keep stretching. Keep climbing more hills. Keep soaring. Keep running. Keep walking with God. And just watch in amazement of what God's going to do through you. Your very best years will be ahead of you if you do. Father, I do pray for my friends. I pray that as they come to the end of this little chapter, that you'll just fill them with new and fresh vision. Fill them with new and fresh hope in you, Lord. That you, the God that has sustained them all the way right to now, as they wait on you, that you are eager to do the impossible through them. Oh Lord, I pray for the rest of us here, that you will inspire us with this verse, inspire us with the thought that as we wait, you might even want to do impossible things through every one of us, some of us in a very small way, some of us in slightly bigger ways. But Lord, it's all about you. And it's you that we honor today. It's you that we worship, and we come before you and thank you for these spiritual companions that have been so faithful and loving alongside so many of us. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We honor you today. We long that we may decrease and that you might increase in the horizon of our lives. In your name, amen.